Hey, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTGN Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we begin, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/MTGNQuarantine. So you joined a thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGNQuarantine for more information. If you're interested in picking up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat, you can head on over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. Got both the full color version as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So definitely go on over to Inked Gaming, that's I-N-K-E-D, gaming.com. Search MTG in Quarantine. Every purchase helps support the channel. If you use my affiliate link, which will be included on my link tree or potentially in the episode description, and every bit of support is greatly appreciated. Well, MTG or Magic Con 30 Philly is in the books, and today's episode is me just trying to break down what was an absolutely amazing event. I mean, I love doing these little wrap-up episodes every time I go to a convention, and you know, I feel like in some ways this may have been one of the best that I've actually done since starting the podcast, because it's 3 days with so many awesome people getting to do so many awesome things. I mean, there's only so many things you can put into words, right? And honestly, I don't know if I can put all of my thoughts into words. I said this on Twitter yesterday, that, you know, I really don't know how to really process everything that happened. But, you know, I'm going to try to do my best, obviously. And yeah, going to start out by prefacing that, you know, Magic Con Philly was kind of the right thing at the right time for me personally, is that I've been having a pretty tough week up to that point. Obviously, you know, with the news of the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, obviously that being a terrible, terrible tragedy where obviously we don't know what the effects of that are going to be going forward. A lot of other stuff in the news as well going on there, but also, you know, the really, really tragic mass shooting that happened at my alma mater, Michigan State University, last week, where 3 students were unfortunately killed and 5 others were critically injured by a lone gunman. And yeah, that I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't exactly in the best headspace starting last week, and Magic Con really helped kind of get me out of that funk. And that was really, really nice, because being able to hang out with friends and just be able to kind of escape for a few days was exactly what I needed in a time where, you know, it's difficult that a place where you feel like you have formative years of your life gets so, it's really difficult for me to say this, but I was very, very affected by that unfortunate event at my alma mater, and it was nice that I was able to get away from that for a few days and have fun with friends and just be able to do fun things. So yeah, that was really what I needed out of Philly. But again, I'm going to not brood on that one. I'm going to talk about all the really cool things that happened this past weekend at Magic Con Philly. So obviously, I'm going to start off with the fact that I just love hanging out with my fellow cosplayers. I know I talk a lot about cosplay on this episode, on this podcast. I've had some amazing cosplay guests. I've had ZBEX, I've had Giraffinat on to talk about cosplaying. Probably you'll have more folks on over time here. So again, never say never for me doing more episodes on this one. But again, I just want to shout out everyone who I interacted with in one way or another, because there were just so many really, really awesome cosplayers out there. Honestly, I don't remember ever seeing this many cosplayers at any Magic event ever, so I definitely can say that we're growing the community one event at a time, and it's really awesome to be able to feel like I have a hand in, you know, being able to grow this community and really be able to start making an impact on getting more folks into this niche of a niche. You know, it's really cool to be able to see that. So again, I'm going to shout out to everyone who I interacted with in one way or another. So yeah, shout out obviously to the the pros who were invited to be there. I'm going to shout out Tappy Toe Claws, Olivia Gobert Hicks, Orlando Smith, a.k.a. Teferi Time Magic, Talia Vess as Elspeth. And again, I didn't get to meet Tonic Toe, who was there as Garrick, but, you know, obviously schedules didn't quite work out on that one, but I really wish I'd gotten a picture with him. And then, obviously, with all the other cosplayers I was able to meet and get pictures with, whether that was Dravenette now debuting Phyrexian Tameo, or obviously the amazing Veggie Wagon cosplaying both as Ragavan, kind of a dapper Ragavan on Saturday, as well as a very homemade Elish Norn costume that basically consisted more of a couple of clothes hangers wrapped in paper towels, a very strangely sized white bra, and just like some white pants and toilet paper as kind of a sash slash belt. I mean, Veggie is awesome. Can't say enough about the guy. And just, I feel like his costume on Friday really brought the house down just for its silliness. Because, I mean, look, the thing is, it's a silly, fun, homemade costume. And then just Veggie's infectious personality just makes it work. So, yeah, that's really awesome. And continuing on with the list here, as I go through my Twitter profile here, again, big shout out to ZBEX for being there, as well as Dark Pack Cosplay, bringing Elish Norn to the event. Let's see, who else? Just so many folks. Yawgoth, who was debuting his Yawgmoth Rand Physician costume, which looked absolutely amazing there. Getting to kick it with Anna Margaret again, was awesome after meeting her originally in Bellevue last year. Got to finally meet Mythic Michaela, who was there as Zira Arien and actually ended up winning the Masters Division. Zira the Golden Sting, excuse me, of the character Zira Arien. But yes, she won the Masters Division of the cosplay contest, and that was really awesome. Unfortunately, I missed the cosplay contest because I was doing an event, the unknown event with Gavin Verhey, that I will mention in a few minutes. But again, I went back and I watched the video just yesterday to make sure that I got to see what was going on. And oh my God, I wish I had been there to see all these amazing costumes. Continuing onwards, I got to meet Amara 21 as Ashnod the Uncaring and got a picture with the accompanying transmigrant, which was absolutely disgusting but amazing at the same time. That was really, really cool. I got to meet some new folks, or at least got to see some interesting new cosplays. I saw an Oko, I saw another Gerard, so a big shout out to Ninja Puffed for that one. I saw a really, really good Myrel Shield of Argive, I think that's the name of the card, done by Interplanetary Beacon Cosplay, I believe. A really awesome Taunos Urza's Apprentice by Hammerhouse Cosplay. That was really cool. I got a picture with an Azuri, I believe the new Azuri, but I'm not sure. There was a guy dressed up as Squee running around, and I didn't realize that until later. You know, it just a lot of really cool folks out there in the cosplay community, and I just really had a lot of fun being able to get pictures, see these costumes, you know, just feel like I'm part of a community of folks who are, you know, not afraid to show up in costume to these sorts of events and just have fun. I mean, that's why we're all here, right? Is that we want to make sure we have fun. We want to make sure that we're showing our fandom in as many awesome and creative ways as possible. So, yeah, big shout out to y'all. Hope to see you again. And yeah, it was definitely real. All right. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is the EDH that I got to play. Obviously, I love bringing my quiver case to these sorts of events because, you know, we're here because of the card game, right? So I love being able to bring cards and play games. And I want to give a shout out to everyone, and I mean everyone I played a game with who I at least have a Twitter tag for. And that's going to be Kellis from Elder Drunken Highlander, who I met originally at MTG Summit last year. Maybe got a game in I don't remember, but anyway, got a game in with them at this event. That was and just hung out with them over the course of the weekend. Obviously, the one and only Alan of Mental Misplay, Callahan from the Mind Sculptors, got all three of those in a pod that I ended up winning just through Alenda Valley, which is really, really cool. Going on down the list, I have the one and only 100 Beers, Mr. Bevers, who was awesome, who's always awesome to hang out with. Got a couple games in with him. He's a great guy. Justin from Sylvan Scholars. Shout out to Bear Claymore as well from Sylvan Scholars. That was awesome meeting both of you. Missy, a.k.a. Sylvian Silver, it was nice meeting you. I was able to get the partner coupling here of Chris Von Doom and Ms. Eldritch, which is really awesome. I met Ms. Eldritch a few events back. I believe it was in Dallas, and being able to meet Chris was pretty awesome this time. I got to play another game with Danny from Dad Jokes and Cardboard, which is awesome. Got to meet again Megan from Infinite Tokens, who is an amazing person, and I let her know over the course of like 30 minutes just how much Infinite Tokens means to this community. Obviously got a game in with the one and only Veggie Wagon, got to play against his Tempting Worm deck, and got completely slaughtered very quickly, but not by him. But it's always fun to kick it with Veggie, and yeah, it's a great time. As well as the one and only Covert Go Blue, who I had never actually met before, but got a chance to play a game with, got murdered by his Angel Army, but you know, it's EDH, it happens. As well as Chris the Commander Mechanic, who was actually the second guest on my show ever, and it was great to be able to actually meet him and play some EDH. So yeah, I believe that was everyone I played with at Magic Con. Again, if we played and I didn't mention your name, I'm so sorry. I try to keep as meticulous notes as possible, but it's entirely possible that with everything going on, something slips through the cracks, so I don't remember. So I again thank you to everyone who played EDH with me. It was really awesome playing with you. I was able to get a couple of wins, do some cool things, and you know, it's EDH. We want to go to have fun, and that's why we're there. So yeah, just a really good time. Anyway, moving on down the line, another thing that I got to do during the course of the event was the Unknown event starring Gavin Verhey. And if you haven't heard what the Unknown event was, it was effectively a Phyrexia All Will Be One booster draft with some serious twists. So basically the event split all the competitors, of which there were about 350, myself included, on Saturday night. And they split us up into two factions, obviously the Mirrens, which is what I wanted to be, and which team I was on, versus the Phyrexians. Obviously, since we're going to March the Machine, we're kind of going past the Mirrens here, but you get the point. Anyway, the draft format was sealed, so we obviously had six booster packs, but it wasn't just All Will Be One. There were three All Will Be One draft packs, one All Will Be One set booster, which I've never actually drafted with, so that was interesting, as well as two convention edition mystery boosters. Again, if you listened to my episode on why I enjoy mystery boosters a couple of years ago, it's really cool to be able to draft this set that really has nothing to do with the latest standard legal sets. And, you know, it was really cool being able to do that, as well as a pack of 10 random playtest cards that were only available at this event, and which apparently Gavin and some of his coworkers actually spent a lot of time gluing these little playtest card inserts to real cards. So, I mean, these cards were not printed that way. They were literally glued, or taped, I guess, to an actual Magic card for then our use in these events. So, yeah, that was really cool. And the idea, obviously, is you're going to build a sealed deck, and then you were going to play three rounds, and for every win you got some points for your team, and whichever team had the most points at the end of the night was going to win. Now, obviously, there were some ways to gain some more points based upon these playtest card effects. I had one that actually really cared about giving you additional points, and that was a card called Good Night. Good Night, if you watched the Good Morning Magic episode with Gavin on this, I believe, yesterday, by the time this episode comes out here right after the con, he explained that the Good Night and Bad Night, quote-unquote, were takeoffs on the White Knight and Black Knight cards that came out way back in the early days of Magic. And Good Night, which is what I had, said that you could not cast it if you were on the Phyrexian team. So obviously I was on the Mirren team, so I was able to throw Good Knight into my deck. And the idea was with Good Knight was it was a 2/2 with first strike for white-white, and which I believe is the same mana cost maybe as White Knight. You'd have to check me on that one. But anyway, if Good Knight was on the battlefield at the end of the game, whether you win or you lose, you would get an additional point for the Mirren team. Obviously, I didn't have that on any of the games, so I didn't get any additional points for my team, but it was really cool to be able to see that sort of mechanic. There were also other playtest cards in there, which had different effects based on which team you were on, and that was really cool. And anyway, so I'm getting ahead of myself. So I ended up building Esper Control. So that's white, black, blue control, because I had a bunch of very low-cost aggressive white creatures, things like Crawling Chorus, Mandible Justiciar, things like that, as well as a card called Drake of Set's Mechanic. Drake of Set's Mechanic is a 2/2 Drake for 2 and a blue. It's a playtest card, obviously, and has flying as well as gave poison tolerance. So you know how poison counters, if you have 10 of them at any point in the game, you lose the game automatically. Well, poison tolerance, as Gavin so succinctly put it in his Good Morning Magic episode, wanted to try to find a way to be able to maybe not remove poison counters from players, but be able to allow you to have extra tolerance to poison counters before you succumb and lose the game. So poison tolerance on Drake of Set's Mechanic gave poison tolerance, I believe, +2, which meant that I was able to go up to 12 poison before losing the game, as long as it was on the battlefield. So a really cool card to be able to have sitting around, as well as it being a nice 2/2 flyer on, you know, a reasonable 3-cost body. So yeah, just really cool thing to have there. But anyway, I had all these white aggressive creatures. I had some blue, a few counter spells, some interaction there, but just a lot of really good black removal. So I decided to go into my matches. I ended up with a mirror match, for the most part, with someone else playing kind of the same shell as I was, and I was able to just barely get that out. I mean, we got to game 3. Game 3 was an absolute slugfest, and I mean a slugfest. I dropped the new Graz Juggernaut, which I had gotten the alternative art for in one of my booster packs. And so all of a sudden, it's just, I'm going to win on my next turn because all my creatures are 5/3 juggernauts in addition to their other types. And I'm going to win the game. My opponent drops the Wandering Emperor. Or, I can't remember exactly what the name of the card is off the top of my head. But yeah, the Wanderer's New Planeswalker card exiles, or at least destroys, most of my board, including my juggernaut. So all of a sudden, I'm really on the back heel. I need this game. And then I just draw the perfect card, which the white aura, which turns off planeswalker abilities. I drop that down on the emperor, on the Wandering Emperor, and then I just somehow eke out the win. It was insane. Big MVP in this card was another playtest card called Original Skull Clamp. Original Skull Clamp apparently was the original, you know, as it says, the original version of the card Skull Clamp. You know, the one gives +1/-1 to a creature, and when an equipped creature dies, draw 2 cards. So Original Skull Clamp was same artifact for 1, giving equipped creature +1/+1, and when it dies, draw 2 cards. That card probably triggered 4 or 5 times during the course of that decisive game 3 in round 1. I drew so many cards, and I was able to refill my hand and be able to stay on the beatdown long enough to keep my opponent off track and be able to claim the win for the Mirrens, just as it should be, in my opinion. And unfortunately, that success was not sustained in rounds 2 and 3. I got bodied by Gruul aggro in round 2. You know, obviously, I have a lot of small creatures. I wasn't able to keep anything on the board, and I just got bullied around, which, you know, it happens. In round 3... I was playing against an opponent who had 2 Skrelv's Hives, so the new, as they called Skitter Blossom, the new white version of Bitter Blossom, and it just, I died to Infect, or sorry, I died to Toxic, so poison damage. I was able to win game 1 by keeping the pressure on, but games 2 and 3 just didn't have the gas I needed, and my opponent just overwhelmed me with an interesting Abzan poison, Toxic list. So there really wasn't much I could do about that, but you know, I put in the good fight for the Mirren side, and I did what I could. So what was really cool about Saturday's event, besides the fact that it was a fundraiser for Black Girls Code, which is awesome, I'm definitely glad to be able to help out such a great charity, But another thing that was really cool was that we all got a special playtest card for competing in the event and playing all three rounds. And I have that card here in front of me, and that is Delphia Undecided. Delphia is a 6/6 elephant costing Wooburg, and reads spells you cast cost 3 less to cast if they were originally printed in the following expansions or associated commander decks, depending on who won the unknown event on February 18th, 2023. So what's really cool about Delphia here is that the card was based, I mean, the whole point is the card is based on whoever wins or whoever won the event. Obviously, unfortunately, the Phyrexians won the Saturday event. So in this case, Delphia would provide you the cost reduction on any card printed in Mirrodin Besiege, New for Phyrexia, all would be won in March of the Machine. But the fact that they would print this card and give it a kind of an interesting clause based on who won the event is really cool. I just really enjoy this kind of design space. And I'm glad, and although I wish I had joined, although I wish I had done the Friday event, as it turns out, because I wanted to see all my friends doing the cosplay contest, I'm glad that I at least got to do the unknown event anyway, because it was a lot of fun, got to do a very interesting draft environment, and I actually got a really, really, really awesome card out of one of my mystery boosters, and that was Slivdrazi Monstrosity. This is actually a card where, yeah, if you're unfamiliar with the Convention Edition Mystery Boosters, back in 2019, or late 2019, Wizards of the Coast made the Mystery Boosters Convention Edition, where you would have your Mystery Boosters from over the, 1,500 cards from throughout Magic's history, as well as, 70 or 80 Magic playtest cards that never quite got to print. And you would get one of these per every pack, yada, 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 and it was really cool. And so, obviously, I pulled Slivdrazi Monstrosity. I thought, okay, there's no way I can run a 8/8 Sliver Eldrazi costing a colorless and Wooburg, in my pool, because I just don't really have any way to fix mana. I don't want to run five colors. It's one of those things. Anyway, for those curious what Slivdrazi Monstrosity does, it says Eldrazi you control are slivers in addition to their other types. So, obviously, we're, mashing slivers and Eldrazi here, which is quite terrifying, honestly, in its own way. Slivers you control have Devoid and Annihilator 1, so they all have basically have no color. They have a casting cost color, but they don't have a color, and which basically makes them Eldrazi, right? Since Devoid and Annihilator are both Eldrazi mechanics, and Annihilator 1 means that when that creature attacks, the defending player has to sacrifice a permanent before the attack goes off. And the Sliver ability here is you can pay 3 generic to create a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Sliver creature token. It has, again, another Eldrazi thing here. Sacrifice this creature, add a colorless mana. So I feel like this is definitely more of an Eldrazi card than a Sliver card, but it definitely has the kind of the fun Sliver templating. But anyway, I thought, okay, this is kind of a funny card. They reprinted these Convention Edition boosters for 2021 with the return to in-person play. And I thought, okay, it's probably like $6 to $8. And I was sitting around with some awesome folks on Saturday night at LobbyCon, so hanging out with Missy against Sylvian Silver, Mr. Bevers, as well as Chris from the CNC podcast. And they told me that the card was actually worth about $70. And that honestly blew my mind, because, again, we must have been opening original 2019 convention booster packs, because according to them, the small little planeswalker symbol in the lower left corner, which is present on my card, was there, which means that it's one of the original playtest cards and is worth a whole hell of a lot more than the reprints. So I ended up walking away from that event with a $70 card in my pocket. I also walked away with about 1,600 prize ticks, which I completely forgot about to cash in on Sunday. So I almost walked out of the event with probably another $20 or so worth of new card sleeves, and I totally botched that. So I have the prize ticks in my hand right now. They're going to end up going in the recycling because I have no use for them anymore, which really sucks, because I was really hoping to be able to get some new sleeves for some of my commander decks, replace ones that are falling apart, but oh well, such is life. But yeah, it was a great event. I had fun. I got some interesting games in, got some really cool cards. I was able to pull a Triumph of the Hordes out of one of my mystery booster packs, which is really awesome. Obviously, I wasn't playing green, but you know, that's a nice $17 card right there. So that's something I can either slot into another deck or, you know, sell, just do what I want with it. So yeah, that's pretty awesome. Also got to meet Chris from Shy Style Gaming there as well, who actually found me in the crowd, which is really nice. Because I was, again, as another aside, I was cosplaying as Tireless Tracker, which is the cosplay most people know me for, on Friday, as well as I debuted my new Gerard Capuchin cosplay on Saturday, and obviously posted a picture of myself in the morning so people could come find me. And that was definitely helpful. I think that helped a lot of folks out there find me. So I'm going to start doing that more often going forward. Anyway, again, back to the cosplay bit right there. Speaking of Tireless Tracker, honestly, the original artist of the Tireless Tracker card, Eric Deschamps, was one of the featured artists at the event. And I knew going in that I wanted to get him to sign one of my Tireless Tracker cards. Obviously, if you've been listening to my show long enough, you know I really associate myself with this card at this point after having cosplayed it for, you know, last year and a half or so. And it's basically become my signature cosplay look. So I wanted to get this card signed by the man who brought this card to life, and I was able to do that. If you follow me on Twitter, you will, you'll have to go down a ways to be able to find it, but I did get a picture with the man himself doing, you know, a modified Tireless Tracker pose, obviously so you can kind of see my face instead of just the side of my face as is usually found on the card. But yeah, it was really cool being able to meet him. I got my card signed. And yeah, it's really awesome to have met the guy who really inspired me to get into cosplaying. So yeah, that was really, really, really awesome. Another cool thing that happened to me when I was in my cosplay was I was standing and talking with Megan of Infinitokens at one point on Friday. You know, just talking about the impact Infinitokens have had on the creator and the Magic community in general. And a couple of WotC production folks came up to me, and the one guy asked, he said, "Hey, you know, you look like you're dressed up as a pirate. Here's some buried treasure." And he hands me a secret lair, which I had no idea what to make of. So, again, for those who haven't seen it, it was a black package secret lair. It says secret lair 295 Shivan Dragon. I didn't keep the packaging because I didn't have anywhere to store it, but again, it reads, "This is a special individually numbered card, one out of only 295 copies in the whole world." With a little subtext here, "Somehow it has made its way to across time and space and found its way to you. Welcome to Secret Lair." So I obviously got a picture of myself in costume with this, holding up the secret lair towards the camera. That absolutely blew up. That picture went absolutely viral on social media. I had offers from all sorts of folks asking if they could buy it off of me, which is really weird. And yeah, I got Shivan Dragon card number 65 out of 295. And right now, though there isn't a price point necessarily for these cards, I've heard some folks getting offered upwards of $1,000 or more for one of these cards, and that just blows me away. So this is easily the most valuable card I have in my collection. I'm not really sure what I want to do with it, but again, the fact that this is the first card or first product I've ever gotten from Wizards of the Coast just by being in an event or being a content creator, I'm really tempted to hold on to it. Am I going to play with it? I don't know. Right now, it's in a top loader case, and I'm going to definitely keep it safe and see what I want to do with it. Maybe eventually I'll play with it. I don't know. I've never actually gotten around to putting a Shivan Dragon in any of my decks. I want to. So, you know, never say never, right, on that one. But yeah, that was a really cool story. And I'm never going to forget that. All right. Another couple of things that I did well at the event were I drafted the Mental Misplay cube. Alan has a really awesome cube with a bunch of extremely powerful cards in it, and I'll mention those here in a moment when I get down to scrolling through my feed here. But yeah, it was a lot of fun being able to play that cube. because Alan has put a lot of time and effort into building said cube. And the fact I got to play some really powerful cards, like I had two copies of Worm Coil Engine, Hullbreaker Whore, I had a Machine God's Effigy, I had a bunch of really, really, really cool cards in there that really worked together. And I ended up actually being able to play the Hullbreaker Whore, copying the Hullbreaker Whore, so then I was able to bounce two cards at any given time. It was really awesome. I had the Richard Garfield PhD card in there, which is absolutely busted. If you don't know what that card is, it's a 2/2 human designer costing 3 blue-blue, and it reads, you may play cards as though they were other cards of your choice with the same mana cost. You can't choose the same card twice. Mana cost includes color. So basically, you're playing mental magic right there, and I'm really bad at doing that, especially in a draft environment. So I didn't actually get to use that ability, but it was really cool to just be able to have it. And I ended up drafting 5 cards from that cube, which are extremely powerful, or banned in Commander entirely. And those cards are Tinker, which is banned, Mishra's Workshop, which is $4,000 or $5,000, which I think it was probably a proxy, but again, it was just really cool being able to have that in the cube. Tolarian Academy, obviously out of the busted Urza's block there, which is banned. Ancestral Recall, which is super banned. And Gifts Ungiven, which is also banned in Commander. I had a conspiracy that allowed me to copy any spell in my deck as long as I chose a card ahead of time. And I chose Ancestral Recall prior to the game secretly, with the idea being that if I was able to drop Ancestral Recall at some point during the game, I'd be able to draw 6 cards for 1 mana utilizing my conspiracy. Unfortunately, that card got basically milled away through Memory Jar. But again, it was really cool being able to see that. And being able to play that cube. Thank you so much, Alan, for being awesome, as well as also bringing that pizza to LobbyCon. I was pretty much starving at Saturday night because being a cosplayer, you get really hungry during the course of the day because it's not as easy to go outside and do things. So it was really awesome that you brought the pizza. Thank you so much for just being awesome. Can't wait to hang out and play some games or just get you on the podcast or something. So yeah, take it easy, Alan. Thanks for being awesome. And also, I got a chance to play with friends of the show, Scoop Phase, and the boys from Altar of the Brew as well, and got to play Scoop's Pile, which was, if you've heard of Booster Blitz, it's very, very similar to that. You basically have a shared library. So Booster Blitz is you play with cards out of a booster pack, and you have unlimited mana, and there's some other rules in there to try to make things fair based on complete randomness. And the pile, effectively, which I intend to do a full episode on here soon, basically says you have infinite mana, but you can only play one spell per turn. So you have to be very careful. So it was just a bunch of giant beaters and ridiculously overcosted removal spells. But when you have infinite mana, you don't care. It's really awesome being able to drop like a 7 or 8 drop and just not worry about having to pay for it. So yeah, that was really cool. So yeah, shout out to Scoop for bringing the pile. But yeah, I mean, I've talked about all the things that I did do, but I want to also shout out all the folks who I got to hang out with. I mean, there are so many of you out there that I interacted with one way or another, and I know I'm going to forget here, so I'm going to do my very best to shout out everyone I interacted with at some point. If I forget, please let me know. And it just so many people. I'm going to try to do my best. So, yeah, I again got to hang out with 100 Beers, Mr. Bevers, who gave me this really awesome Chat Chaos Commander, I guess the van version of a white eraser that I can use for my infinite tokens. Got an awesome picture with him, as well as Scoop Phase in the background. That went over really well on Twitter. Got to meet the godfather of EDH himself, Sheldon Menery, who actually gave me a booster pack of Dominaria United, which was really cool because I hadn't had a chance to... I missed the pre-release for that one, so I didn't get a chance to to pick up any of that product, but it was really cool to be able to meet him and get a picture with him. Again, I got to meet both of the guys from Silver and Scholars, both Bear Claymore, as well as Justin and Megan from Infinitokens, Altar of the Brew, so all the guys over there. I got to see Charles, a.k.a. the Mono White guy. I didn't get a chance to play with him, but it was awesome just being able to see him talk a little bit about Magic and just about the episode, the OW deck tech that I actually just re-uploaded here to the channel yesterday, I believe. Let's see, who else? Oh, yeah. Another one of the cosplayers I actually completely forgot to mention, and I'm so sorry about this. And again, I'm trying to make sure I find the name here. Oh, yeah, so Ben of Some Trades, who is there as the Phyrexian Baker, had a Phyrexian mask, the chef's hat, the apron, the white smock frock getup that was covered in all sorts of Phyrexian writing and the Mercadian mask symbol, and just had actually baked. Jeez, why do I say cooked? Wow, I'm still out of it, folks, from traveling and whatnot, but. Yeah, had baked a set of 5 Phyrexian cookies, 1 for each color. It was an amazing picture. I will have to get that up on Twitter when I get the chance, because everyone deserves to see that. Got to hang out with, or at least got to say hi to Cal from Playing With Power, Dan from Moderately Anonymous MTG, got to say hi to Zeb, whose cube I drafted at Silicon Dynasty, who I hope to eventually have on the episode to talk more about his Commander Coliseum cube. I mentioned all of the cosplayers that I met. Got to meet Tron is Bad, Ryan Nicholas, who is there also drafting Alan's Cube with me. I got to meet HamHawks42 as well as Efren Ramirez from Magic Jank, who formerly from Pizza Box MTG. Phil Gallagher from Thraben U, who I'm going to try to have on here soon to talk about some legacy stuff. Got to meet some extra folks. Billy was there. Geek Beardly was there. I got to meet the folks from Magic Jank. The guys from Howling Salt Mines, Sam and Mike, who are going to be on upcoming episodes of the MTG in Quarantine podcast here real soon. Tony, a.k.a. GToast99, who's one of the forerunners of Godo CEDH list. So I was able to spend a lot of time talking to him about Godo, which is really nice, because again, I'm a huge Godo stan, so being able to meet someone else who's really, really into playing Godo and who's really on the cutting edge of the new things with the Godo lists in CDH is extremely awesome, and I'm glad I was able to meet him. Again, I'm just trying to go through so many different people here. God, there are just so many folks that I got to say hi to. Again, trying to go through my pictures, and it doesn't do it justice. So I'm gonna try again. I know I keep saying I'm gonna try, but it's just like there were so many folks there who I knew and I got to say hi with that, you know, it's so difficult. So Beth, Queen of Cardboard, was there. Bobby Christine was there. Corey, that TCG guy, was there. I'm so sorry, everybody. I am completely forgetting everybody, and I don't mean to be, because I appreciate having seen everybody, gotten to hang out with everybody, and I just right now, off the top of my head, cannot remember everybody. I mean, it's one of those things where it's going to come to me after I'm done recording the episode and say, oh, damn it, I knew I should have mentioned so-and-so. Yeah, it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It's unfortunate. Got to finally meet Nathan the Hermit Druid in person, which is really awesome. Didn't get a chance to really talk to him too much, but, you know, such is life, unfortunately. Josh from Mind Mental Magic, got to hang out with him. Didn't get a chance to play a game with him, but, you know, as Josh said, he's still 1-0 against me, but, you know, that... Hopefully that'll change eventually when we get a chance to play CDH again. And yeah, there are so many other folks who I just don't remember necessarily off the top of my head. But again, we'll pop into my brain exactly at that time, you know, right after I finished recording. I got to meet Shannibal, Scruffy Nerf Herder, who were there. Again, it was great meeting them. I got to see Baird, again, aka Sigma Caldera, again, as well as Adam from Sadnaws. Missed my chance to meet him at Silicon Dynasty, but got a chance to talk with him a lot at this event, which is really awesome. And yeah, just so many people. So I think I'm going to stop it there, mostly because I'm just really starting to draw blanks with everyone. But again, if I interacted with you, thank you so much for being there. Oh, Chloe as well. There we go. I was just trying to find. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chloe was there, as well as Brendan. MTG Baron was there. A girl named Ron was there. You see, I'm fine. I'm just going through my whole list of folks who I follow and who follow me, just trying to make sure I remember. Anna, aka Phyrexian Fangirl, was there, and yeah, the Bufftown. Well, actually, Scoop from the Bufftown Bullies was there, which is really cool. And yeah, just so many people. I am so happy to have been able to hang out with y'all, see y'all, and just, you know, just talk about magic and talk about life and whatnot. It was really awesome to either see you again or meet you for the first time. And yeah, this is why I love conventions. Conventions are the best. And yeah, I miss everybody already. Just being able to take 3 days to just hang out, meet a lot of people, and, you know, get to see old friends, get pictures, get to do fun things. Yeah, it was an absolutely great time. I did miss the March of the Machine first look, but again, I'm on Twitter, so I end up seeing all of the cards anyway. So I guess that really didn't matter to me too much. Another really fun thing about the convention was the fact there was a giant scale, or not, I mean, not necessarily to scale, Weatherlight there, and obviously dressed as Drawer Capuchin, I was able to get a picture in front of the Weatherlight with my sword drawn. It just seems so poetically correct. That was an awesome picture right there. Yeah, again, the Planeswalker lairs were really awesome. I didn't pick up any cards when I was at Magic Con except for that secret lair, the cards I got from the Unknown event, and yeah, those are the only cards I actually picked up, as well as getting the signature from Eric Deschamps. But yeah, again, it was a great time. If you ever get the opportunity to go out to an event, I highly, highly, highly recommend it, because yes, Magic Online is fun, and I'm not talking specifically about Magic Online, the server or the client. I'm talking about just playing Magic in some sort of online medium. Well, it can be fun. I really prefer in-person Magic if you're able to go, because it is 10 times more fun, in my opinion, than just playing by yourself in your apartment or your house or whatever your living situation is. I just find that it's so much better just being able to get together with people for a couple of days and just hang out and do fun things, because that's really where the memories come from. Oh, one more thing. I want to shout out to Chase, aka Mana Curves. I'm so sorry, Chase. I completely forgot. I'm just going through my phone at this point trying to remember everyone I got pictures with. It was awesome getting to meet you. Thank you so much for supporting my content. It means a lot to me. And yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm going to wrap things up for this episode. I did get a cheesesteak, in case you were asking. It was kind of last moment over at Reading Terminal Market, but it was pretty good. I'm glad I was able to get that. And also just got to kind of hang around and see what was up in Philadelphia, which was kind of nice. I'd actually never been to Philadelphia before, so it was nice being able to go for a short sightseeing tour when I flew in Thursday night and just kind of wander around downtown, see City Hall, see a few of the sites anyway. You know, nothing too much. Obviously, I didn't get really a chance to, you know, see everything in Philadelphia. I didn't get to see the Rocky statue. I didn't really get to go to one of the major cheesesteak places. But, you know, it is what it is, right? That you can't do everything when you're going to a town for a Magic convention, especially when you're cosplaying. It's like, because that ends up being your whole day effectively is cosplaying. It's a lot harder to go outside and do things when you're dressed as a Magic the Gathering character. So, you know, it is what it is, but thank you so much to everybody for hanging out and just being awesome. So, yeah, I am going to, looking forward here, I am going to be, or I intend to be, at the MagicCon 30 in Minneapolis in early May, I believe 5th through the 7th. So if you're going to be there, definitely hit me up. I intend to be in cosplay. I'm not sure if I'm going to be bringing both or just one. Again, I've got a couple months to figure that out. But yeah, if you're going to be there, definitely hit me up. We're going to have to get a game in or at least a picture of some kind, whether that's me in cosplay or whether that's just us just getting pictures just in street clothes. I don't know. And yeah, it was fun hanging out at LobbyCon on Saturday night. Just being able to talk to folks out of costume, you know, just in a very social environment. I got to see Infinitokens play the world's smallest commander deck, which is the little tiny cards that are actually still fully functional, fully playable. Yeah, it just so much to say about this. It was definitely the weekend I needed after a tough week prior. And it's always fun being able to see my friends again. And again, I got my cheesesteak, so I think I'm pretty happy right there. Also, shout out to Jarvis Moonbeam for this token that I found here in my pile of tokens that I received. And yeah, really, really fun time. I highly recommend it. I hope everyone who's listening out there can someday get to a MagicCon event or just any sort of big Magic the Gathering event where folks are going to be there, because it's a great time. And these connections you make here last a lifetime. So I cannot recommend these things highly enough. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the episode today. If you're interested in helping support the MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can go on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And with that, I'd like to give a huge shout out and thank you again to the following patrons: Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.